Good evening, Gary. Good evening, Thad.
Good evening. I was just enabling the screen share for transportation guests.
Hello, Bill.
Hello. Well, what's not working? So you're apparently your microphone must be off, but I don't see that. I don't see anything for your microphone. Well, go down. Are both your microphone in the lower left corner, both your microphone and your video, are they, you know, take your cursor down. You should see the microphone icon and the video camera icon. You need to unblock them. Well, the video's on. I mean, I see your video. So you need to join the audio. Yeah, join audio. Okay, you're connecting to audio.
Oh,
it's connecting.
I think I'm okay.
Starting?
Okay.
Are we all on?
Well, we have 12 people here now. Yep. Now I think we have 13.
It's 7:01. And I would like to begin unless there are any objections.
No, let's start.
Sally, are you with us?
Wait,
yes,
which
hello. Sally? We have two Sallys. Very good.
Sally Otteson's here. I'm not.
Sally Gregg?
Her video's frozen.
She's not with us on audio?
Apparently not.
Can she hear us at all?
Well, since her video's frozen, we're not getting any indication.
Okay. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with the Mendocino Voice. I was just going to take a look at the meeting, might write some stuff down just so people know. I realize it's a public meeting, but I just thought I'd tell everybody that interested in following this story of the SB 231, that is.
All right. Thank you for being with us tonight.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'd like to proceed with our meeting. The time now is 7:03 p.m., and I would like to begin. Gary Quinton.
It appears we have a problem with Sally Gregg.
Yes, I acknowledge that.
I'll try to get her hooked up.
We stop. Notice the meeting. And I suggest that we proceed. Is there any objection? Bad, no objection, Gary. Okay, we will proceed and hope that Sally Green can catch up with us as the evening progresses. First, I'd like to call the roll call of the council, and then I would like to ask our guests to introduce themselves. My name is Robert Scott, and I'm chairman of the Westport Municipal Advisory Council. Bill Mapp? Is the vice chairman. Gary Quinton is secretary. Sally is with us in spirit. And Thad Van Buren is the past chair, having served in that capacity for almost 15 years, and was the one that spearheaded the formation of the Municipal Advisory Council here in Westport. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. And does anyone have any objection to my asking Director Van Buren his email regarding the question of summarizing versus detailed minutes? Thad, you sent out an email a couple of days ago, and you've mentioned it in some earlier meetings. I'd like you to share your thoughts with us, and then I'd like to have the other directors comment or respond. So, Thad, could you open this up, please?
Thank you, Ron. Yes, I have raised this issue briefly in prior meetings. And generally, different branches of the county government take minutes at meetings, and I shared with the board prior to this meeting the latest minutes of the Board of Supervisors for May 11th. And if you all reviewed those, you can see just how terse they are. They briefly explain the issue, they identify who's spoken on the topic, and they identify any action that is taken with a motion and a vote. And they don't take the kind of detailed minutes that we've been doing on some topics, not others. The reason for taking summary minutes versus detailed minutes is that, as is the case with the ones that have been presented for the last couple of Westport MAC meetings, the detailed minutes are not actually a verbatim transcript. They're selective, and they purport to be coverage of the topic, but they choose what details are actually presented, and therein lies the problem. I think we would be better served by only identifying who spoke and whether they oppose or support the topic, and whether we took any action, such as continuing it to the next session or supporting or opposing some matter that comes before us, instead of the approach that has been used. And this will also save a lot of effort for the secretary, which I think would be a valuable thing, because then he could participate more fully in the meeting. So these are the reasons why I suggest that we adopt as a policy summary minutes that are like the ones the Board of Supervisors themselves use to record their actions and their hearings.
Any directors have any comments?
Yes, I.
Okay. Bill?
Okay. This we've been kind of talking about this a little bit from time to time, and in the past I have not, anyway, I've had some reservations about really terse summary minutes. Now, one of the things I have noticed, and we talked about briefly last time, okay, we recorded the last meeting in its entirety, we're recording this meeting in its entirety. Is that a practice that we wish to continue? And if it is, I think it has some bearing on how we talk about the minutes, or at least some impact on doing it one way or the other. And so I would like to, I guess, test the waters. I mean, we've done it. We talked about it last time. We had some input from the public suggesting that was a good practice and they would like to see us do it. But we didn't actually discuss whether we would or would not do it. And I know that the Board of Supervisors and the state legislature do in fact record their minutes and make them available through some process. Generally, you have to go to a website someplace and figure out how to download it, and then you figure out how to play it back. And I wouldn't suggest that we do anything more than that. But the point is are we, you know, will we consider doing that? Would that be part of our recording of our public meetings? So I'm opening, you know, if I'd like to extend that as a part of the same question, same discussion.
Thank you very much. Gary Quinton, have any comments?
We have talked about this a couple different times. The secretary's job is elected. If you don't like the job I'm doing, then give a vote of no confidence and somebody else can do it. I take the minutes as I hear them and I report them. If there's something inaccurate in them, it should be changed. I don't publish the minutes. I pass the minutes to the chairperson, then does what he wants with them, and then he finally approves them. So the final approval is not up to the secretary, the final approval is up to the chairperson. But I will say this, what do we got to hide? Having too much detail, I don't think you can. I think that the minutes are a reflection for people who were not there, or something to draw back on from memory at a later time as to what took place. And to have cursory minutes is, to me, it's kind of a cover-up. If there's nothing to hide, then there's not. It's open and it's transparent, and there should be no objection to it. But cursory minutes do not give you the flavor of what happened, the back and forth, and so forth and so on. We had a 2.5-hour meeting last time, and I think that the minutes that I did produce were cursory. They were not verbatim, and it doesn't take 2.5 hours to read them. Then I passed them to the chairperson, and he approved them. So I don't think that every person on the board should be nitpicking the procedure of the secretary as to how he does or does not write the minutes. And if you really have a serious objection about it, then I'll step aside, and whoever thinks they want to do a better job, they're more than welcome to do it.
Thank you, Gary. Sally, Greg, can you hear us now?
I can hear you.
Do you have any comments on this discussion?
I haven't really thought a lot about it. I see the wisdom in having brief minutes, but I hear what Gary's trying to say too. So right now I don't have an opinion to state.
Thank you very much. One of the notations that Thad mentioned in his email was California Code number 25150, dealing with publication of notice and proceedings. And I thought that the language in that code section was of interest. It says that minutes will be caused to be published a fair statement of all proceedings. And elsewhere in the county's provisions, and in the Westport MAC bylaws, it says that those that are voting, those members of the council who are voting against a measure that passes, that they shall have an opportunity to have reasons for their objection included in the minutes. So I think that my thoughts are that we should be allowed to have background information on behind the decisions of the MAC, and not just the statement of approval or disapproval. So I think what I'm hearing is that one member of our council believes it should be limited to it passed or it didn't pass. But I think the other members of the council are saying they're in favor of minutes that go beyond just the statement of whether or not a motion passed or not. Is there any call for an official vote on this, or we just reach a discussion that the majority feel that need to have something more than just an I or an A on a motion? Bill, did Rob? You have any thoughts you'd like to share now?
One quick question. Are we still just talking about the board members? You do have one person in the audience who's got their hand raised icon up. So I'm not sure if you're ready to take comments from the audience or not. If not, I'll speak directly to the question, but I just want to let you know that it's the League of Women Voters. Who is Doreen?
Okay, yes, thank you. Any comments from the public?
Well, you've got Doreen asking for something.
Right.
Yes, please.
Doreen?
I'm speaking as myself. I'm sorry that I got the icon from my other life. In another organization that I was on the board of, where there was controversy, it got to the point where we were spending 45 minutes of every meeting arguing about whether somebody's opinions had been fairly summarized and represented, and we couldn't actually go on to doing business. It seems to me that the way around this is to allow people, if they feel that background information is necessary, if they feel that the way they voted needs to be justified, they can write it down and have it appended. Thanks.
Thank you, Doreen. Bill, did you have any other comments to make? Bill? Bill Knapp.
Sorry, I muted myself. We didn't talk about, my response to this would be changed by the answer to whether we would or would not be recording the minutes. I could be more in favor or in favor of more of shorter minutes. I'm struggling here with two different thoughts. The concept you just mentioned, Rob, of wanting to have more information than just yay or nay, I absolutely agree with, and I don't think we should ever get so terse that that's not there, and I don't really think that's what Thad was suggesting. But we need to have the what's being discussed understood. We need to have the positions that people take clearly understood, and if there's a reason for that they want in the record, that needs to be allowed to be there. Now, if we were recording, there would be a permanent record that would be available, and we wouldn't have to worry so much about precisely whether every word was exactly right or not, which is, we're trying to balance between keeping something at a reasonable size and an ability to handle and not losing information or having information get distorted one way or another. Just by leaving a word out of what somebody says, that can significantly change the meaning of what they said. But we also review the minutes. It's the whole board. I want to point out, it's the whole board that approves minutes, not just the chair. The chair approves them for distribution, and then we vote on them as a board. So it's all of us that agree. And at that time, if there's some specific thing that didn't get included, we have the opportunity to ask for it to be included. And anyway, I can't really articulate it any better than that. So I'll stop for now.
Thank you. My suggestion to try to come to some conclusion on this item is that we've shared our thoughts. Oh, yes. Gary Quinton.
Well, I'd like to make a motion in respect to this then. Is this an appropriate time?
Yes.
I make the motion that the minutes be prepared by the secretary at his discretion or her discretion as to the detail required in order to report properly in the secretary's view what transpired during the meeting. Then they are to be passed to the chairperson for distribution and then finally approved after whatever the chairperson does with them at the next meeting.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by the sign of aye. Aye. Raise your hand or express yourself. Okay. All those who are opposed. Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much. Let's now go on to the drafts. The first one is April the 6th. Is there a motion to approve minutes from the April 6th meeting?
I move they be approved.
I have a comment. I have a comment.
Could we wait? We'll have a discussion after the motion has been seconded, and then we will open it to discussion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. We'll now have a discussion. Thad, would you like to say something?
Yes. I submitted some comments on the initial draft that was circulated, and my comments were ignored. And there are two important points that I feel need to be amended in the current version that was circulated.
Okay.
On page 2, item E, Senator McGuire stated, part of what he stated was that, in fact, the Mendocino Land Trust did not want to compete against the tribal nonprofit. This was something I took note of in my own personal notes for this meeting. I raised this issue, it was ignored by the secretary, and it's very relevant because in fact, it goes to the very opposite of what the note there says, which is that no nonprofit entities were contacted. In fact, the Mendocino Land Trust was contacted. So that needs to be revised. The second item that was ignored is in item G at the bottom of the page, where I made a statement during the discussions there that the tribes had for thousands of years managed this property. That's relevant. And it's not stated here, but it's relevant because it goes to the question that some people had about their experience, which is laughable, really, but they have a lot of experience managing this property. And it's relevant to include that for that very reason. So those are the two points that I feel were ignored. They came up in the meeting, and they should be included in the minutes.
Okay, what I'd like to ask you then is to look at the first change that you mentioned, which is lowercase e, is that correct?
Correct.
The statement,
that there were other nonprofit entities that were contacted to see if they were interested. That's Thad's suggestion. Is there any comment? Yes, Gary.
Mr. Van is just flat wrong. I personally contacted the Mendocino Land Trust, and they knew nothing of it. I'm the one that informed them. And Mr. McGuire himself said they never contacted him. So the statement in E is correct, and Mr. Van Buren's correction is wrong. That's why it was ignored when you sent it to me.
Okay. What I would like to do is accommodate both members of the council by stating that that there is a difference of opinion on the contact of the nonprofits, that Secretary Wright, Senator McGuire stated that no other nonprofit were contacted, and then a semicolon, however, Director Van Buren has information that they were contacted. That way, both directors have their comments in the record. Is there any objection by any of the directors?
No.
Okay, thank you. Sally? Greg?
Yes?
You have a comment on that? Okay.
Oh, and I've lost the screen. Hang on just a second. I have no comment on it.
Okay, thank you.
I think we should include Thad's statements, though, as coming from Thad, and just say it like it is.
Okay, the next comment was on what? Which one? What letter?
G.
G.
E?
G.
G.
As in great.
And your again, please. Your suggestion is what?
My suggestion is that a sentence be added that I said the tribes had thousands of years of managing these properties.
Okay. I would request the secretary add that as a comment from Council Member Van Buren.
Very good.
With those two changes, are there any further comments before we go to a vote? Hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes with the changes that we approved now, please raise your hand. Say aye. Motion passes. Okay, the next minutes are from May the 10th. Any comments on May the 10th? Is there a motion that the minutes from May the 10th, the draft, be approved?
I move that the May 10th draft minutes be approved.
Great, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Council Members Knapp and Van Buren. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by the sign of aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you very much. The next item is our public expression, and this is for discussion only. The MAC welcomes public participation in council meetings. Comments provided in the public expression portion of our agenda are for matters under the jurisdiction of the council, such as planning, local infrastructure, and public safety. The council may limit testimony on non-agenda items to 3 minutes per person and 10 minutes per subject. No action shall be taken, but the matter may possibly be placed on a future agenda or action if appropriate. So with that preamble, the council opens the meeting to public expressions. Are there any comments from our guests? Dad?
Why don't you take Bob Fennell first?
Robert?
Yes, sir. Thanks for recognizing me. Yeah, thanks for recognizing me, Mr. Chair. Just a quick comment, an update on SB 231. I have subsequently sent a letter correspondence to Assemblymember Jim Wood, and I would encourage the WMAC to invite him to the next WMAC meeting, similar to what we did with Senator McGuire. Might be a good idea, too, to try to circle in the 19 questions talked to the last meeting, see if he can be prepared to answer some of those, just to get more information, just part of the diligence for the WMAC to conduct, just addresses the issue. That's all I had.
Very good. Thank you very much. I think that's appropriate to keep them in the loop. Been very responsive to our concerns, and when we get to the update, I'll have some information to share. Are there any other guests that would like to share their thoughts with us? I not see any.
I'm sorry, you have a hand up from Michelle Blackwell. I keep muting myself and forgetting to turn it back on.
Okay, Michelle?
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm a freelance writer that writes for the Fort Bragg Advocate and the Mendocino Beacon, and I will be also doing an article on SB 231 and Blues Beach. So I just wanted to say hello.
Hi.
Any response from anyone to that comment, Thad?
No, I had a different matter I wanted to bring up. We didn't get it on the agenda, but I think it has some urgency and we may be able to take action if the rest of the directors favor taking it up later in the agenda. At the end of the agenda, the issue is fireworks. We're in an extremely bad drought. Fire danger is very high. Fireworks are illegal, but as we saw this past weekend, major fireworks were set off in several locations along our local section of the coast. Blues Beach, Dehaven Creek, and Westport Union Landing at Howard Creek all had cannon type or mortar fireworks that were shot for persistent periods of time, major fireworks. And they're really a safety concern for some of us who live in the area and have a concern about the fire danger that they pose. So I'd like to suggest if the rest of the group is, the directors are willing to take this up at the end of the agenda in more detail.
I'm willing to discuss that because we heard it quite frequently up where we live. Sally? Sally Gregg?
Yes, I'd be happy to have that on the agenda. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm here.
Did you have
can
any?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, I make the motion.
I'd be happy to have it on the agenda. It's not only a fire hazard, it's damn annoying to have them going.
Okay, so.
Okay, well, let's.
Have it on the agenda then at the end?
Yes.
Maybe you could
yes.
Call a vote.
Okay. We're moving on now to old business. And that first item is a presentation on transportation issues by the Mendocino Council of Governments. This is a presentation that has been brought to us by Council Member Van Buren.
Well, I'd like to turn it over directly to the MCOG staff. We heard from Loretta Ellard, who is on the call here, and several other members of MCOG or their staff are here. And I've enabled the screen sharing mode if you need it. Without further ado, I'd just like to turn it over to you, Loretta.
Thank you and good evening. I'm having a little trouble with my audio. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you.
Thank you. I'm Loretta Ellard. I'm a planner with MCOG. On the meeting tonight with me is Nafili Barrett, MCOG Executive Director, and I believe I saw Janet Orth, MCOG Administration. And we're thankful for the opportunity to have a few minutes of your time tonight to let you know what's going on with our regional transportation plan update. And then we also wanted to mention another project about local road safety plans that are happening throughout the county. And I wanted to ask Nafili if she had any preliminary comments before we share our presentation.
I don't think I have anything additional to add. The presentation will give some background information, and then we'll share with you the tools that we're hoping people will use to provide some input, and then we'll talk about our local road safety plans. And thank you for having us here tonight.
Thank you. I'm going to attempt to screen share. It's about a 4 to 5 minute video that we prepared. We thought that would be more efficient for our presentations to local groups. So I'm going to go ahead and start the screen share on that, and then we'll respond to any questions and follow up after that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is this okay? Thank you. Are you seeing my screen now?
Yes.
The Mendocino Council of Governments is currently seeking public input on updates to its regional transportation plan and actual transportation plan. Thank you for taking the time to watch this brief informational presentation. The Mendocino Council of Governments, or MCOG, is the regional transportation planning agency for the Mendocino County region. It's a joint powers authority made up of the county and 4 incorporated cities within the Mendocino County region. One of MCOG's primary responsibilities is to develop the Regional Transportation Plan, or RTP. The next update of the plan is due in February of 2022. The RTP is a long-range planning document covering a 20-year time span. It is updated every 4 years, and it helps guide decision-making and funding for transportation projects in the region. It promotes safe and efficient transportation systems for the movement of people and goods. The RTP includes regional goals, objectives, and policies that support mobility, economic, health, and equity aims of the region. It includes a needs assessment that defines needs, deficiencies, and constraints in the transportation systems. It includes an action plan that identifies priority short and long-range transportation projects for all transportation modes. It also includes performance measures for the various modes and information on funding sources and constraints to implement projects in the plan. The RTP is a multimodal plan. It includes transportation needs, concerns, and improvements for highways, streets and roads, walking and biking, also referred to as active transportation, public transit, rail, aviation, and maritime transportation. The active transportation elements of the document also serves as the region's active transportation plan. The RTP also includes a tribal transportation element, which can incorporate multiple transportation modes. The RTP update process includes an initial round of outreach to the public, member agencies, tribal governments, and other stakeholders to identify needs, deficiencies, and barriers in the transportation system. This is the step we're currently in. Next, we'll use the information we've gathered, as well as information from other planning efforts, to develop draft documents. Once we have drafts ready for review, we'll conduct another round of outreach to seek feedback and comment. The input we receive will be used to develop final documents for adoption by the MCOG board by February of 2022. As mentioned, we are currently conducting the initial round of outreach. This includes outreach to the public, local agencies, tribal governments, and other stakeholders. As part of this outreach, your participation is needed. What transportation needs and issues in Mendocino County would you like to see addressed? What barriers to transportation do you see? Now is your chance to let decision makers know your concerns. MCOG has developed virtual public engagement tools, which are now available on the MCOG website at www.mendocinocog.org. Use the interactive map tool to drop a pin and tell us about your concerns or share ideas. Take the online survey to inform us about travel preferences and trends. Or use the budgeting tool to let us know about how you think transportation funding should be directed. In addition to the virtual public input tools, there are a few other ways to stay informed of the project. Visit the RTP page on MCOG's website for new information, to review documents, and to see previous plans. You can subscribe to updates on MCOG's website with the link at the bottom corner of each page. You can invite MCOG staff to give presentations to your agency or organization. Or, for alternative methods to provide input, please call us at 707-463-1859 or contact our office by mail or email using the information shown here. That concludes this brief informational presentation. We hope that you'll use our online tools or other methods to provide input on transportation in Mendocino County. Thank you for watching.
Thank you. Are you open to any questions or comments right now?
Let me ask, Nafili, did you want to say anything before we have comments and questions?
So the next thing that we were going to do was just show you the online mapping tool for the area, just to show how that works. But if we can take some questions before we do that.
I'm going to open it up to the members council first, and then I will open it up to our guests. Are there any members of the council that have any questions to the representatives of MCOG now?
I have one hopefully very quick question. Will it be possible to get a copy of the video presentation you just did? There's contact information, a bunch of other things there, and the sequence, which would be helpful. Because I won't remember it all. And if we could get a copy of that, if you could send it to the secretary, we could get it distributed internally.
Absolutely, yes. We could send the presentation as well as the link to the website.
Okay. Thank you.
Thad, any questions?
Yeah, what is the deadline for getting input so that it can be considered in the draft RTP you're putting together?
We haven't established an official deadline, so we'll probably leave these tools up and running for a while, but at some point within probably the next month, we will take all the information we have at that point and start incorporating it into the documents, because we are getting to the point where we need to start actually developing those drafts. So I would encourage you to go on there and make your comments as soon as possible, but also feel free to share it and know that there will still be the ability to make comments ongoing. And then at some point, later in the process, there will be draft documents and we'll be doing another sort of push for public input. So that'll be another opportunity.
Okay. Harry, do you have any questions? Harry Quinton, do you have any questions?
You're not looking for specifics right now. You're looking for general questions, right? Is that right?
I don't know if that question was directed towards us, but yeah, we're just answering questions, and then we'll show the interactive map.
Oh, so I can ask a specific question.
Yes, please feel free.
It's very difficult to live on the coast and not be able to fly in a plane hangar at Willits or Little River in over 30 years. And as a result of that, if you live on the coast and you want to fly in and out, which makes it very, very convenient, there's no place to keep an airplane. So people that live here like to do that, don't let it sit out in the rain.
Okay. So we can take that comment, and there is an aviation element of this plan. I will say it's not so all that we have all these modal elements. There are some that we have more ongoing involvement in than others, and aviation is one that we have less involvement in, so we include it in our plan, but we do not have involvement in any of the funding that goes to aviation or airports in Mendocino County. So it is more of an informational or advisory element.
No, there's no funding involved. You just won't allow anybody to make their own investment and build a hangar at the two airports. And so people can't fly in and out.
I want to clarify, we are not a county agency, so we are not a Mendocino County agency. We are actually we're a joint powers. We do include Mendocino County, but we're not a county agency, so it's not something that we have any kind of direct or even indirect control of.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sally, Greg, do you have any questions or comments?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you. I'll open up opportunities for our guests. Are there any guests that have questions or comments for the MCOG representatives? Yes, Robert Fennell.
Speakers off, Bob.
Apologies. I would just, thank you for recognizing, Mr. Chairman. I would just suggest that Westport works on a cycle of monthly Westport Wave communications. So I would suggest that the WMAC publishes an article about the presentation and link as presented by Loretta Ellard and Nafel Barrett, and then give us some reasonable time to let people respond to the survey. It might take mid end of July kind of thing. So this is a suggestion.
We could possibly have a time for response at our July meeting. We could accommodate that on our agenda. Any other suggestions, comments, questions? Yes, Doreen, is your hands up?
Yes, thank you, Bob. So I tried that map pin tool, and I thought it was a lot of fun. But since transportation by definition goes over distance, would be great to have some other kind of a tool that could refer to a broader area that would just make it more seeming logical to the commenter. Also, I'd like to say that I love Bob's suggestion about putting an article in the WAVE, I think the MAC doesn't do enough education, and these people from MCOG are here wanting comments, so you guys could generate some comments for them by putting in that article. Thank you.
Oh, well, we would definitely welcome your article and anything you can do to share our website. Anything that would generate public comment would be appreciated.
Any other questions or comments from our guests? Okay, well, I'd like to express our appreciation to the folks from MCOG. Transportation is a key issue for rural counties, and we value the work that they've done in the past and look forward to their continued help to the people of this county in the future. So thank you for staying awfully late tonight and wish you a good rest of the evening.
Thank you. We do actually have a couple more parts of our presentation.
Sure.
So okay. Are we able to continue?
No rest for the weary.
All right, so okay. I'm going to now try to share screen. My internet connection is not great, so I may have to turn it over to Loretta, but I'm going to try.
Go ahead.
All right. So these are the tools that were described in the presentation, and this page can be found from our MCOG website, which is mendocinocog.org, and it's one of the first news items that you'll see on that page. The link there will take you to this page. It does have the video of the presentation that you just saw, and then it has the links to these tools. So the tools include the interactive map, a survey, and then two budget tools. One is a multimodal budget tool, and then the other is specific to active transportation. So I did just want to show you the map briefly, and thank you to those of you that have used it. I think if I understood the comment on the tool is that you would like something that you can show a route rather than just points on the map, which is a good idea. This tool isn't something that we developed ourselves. It's something that it was an available tool that we were able to use. But I understand what you're saying about something that would cover a broader area. So you can see there are certain parts of the county. It does cover the whole county, so don't feel that you're limited to only commenting in the area that you live in, but you can comment anywhere in the county. The pins are at the top of the screen and they are specific to modes. So we have pedestrian, bicycle, transit, streets and roads, and then other that would encompass something like rail, aviation, or something that's multimodal, maybe that would encompass, you know, several modes altogether. So the way to make a comment, it is pretty easy. You just grab whichever button you're interested in and you can drag it to the map. You can type in your comment, and then we do ask for your email. That is the only mandatory thing, and then add your comment. And you can also go on there and see other comments that have already been made. So you can read comments that people have made, and you can, if you agree with that comment, you can use the like button. And then we know that more than just the initial commenter is in agreement with that. So we're very hopeful that we can get more comments on this map. And so we encourage you to check it out as well as the other tools. And we will, again, we'll send the presentation and the link to these pages for distribution by the MAC. And we appreciate any help that you can give in helping us get the word out about these things.
My only comment on the presentation deals with bicyclists. If anyone was at the store, the little Westport store on Highway 1 this Sunday during the Memorial Day weekend, you know that bicyclists stop here and support the store tremendously. I believe this is the first stop after Leggett on Highway 1. People are really taking a very good rest stop and buying lots of materials from our Westport Community Store. So they do make a tremendous contribution to the economy of our little local community. Any other comments? Any other comments? Members, yes?
So,
yes.
There are no bathroom facilities along Highway 1 from Leggett to Fort Bragg, public bathrooms. So is this part of what you're concerned with, or and is that outside your purview?
You know, it's not, maybe it's not our primary focus, but it certainly is a comment that we would welcome. It is something that we do talk about, especially, you know, especially with cycling. It's something that's come up about facilities for changing clothes, or maybe, you know, something similar would be facilities when people are transitioning from one mode to another. And so I think it is, I think it is a useful comment, and also if you're talking about along Highway 1, something that I think would be of interest to Caltrans as well.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? That's a good observation, Sally. Hey.
Are you talking to me?
Say again, please.
I'd like to see Branscombe Road improved. I'd like to see Branscombe Road improved. Is Branscombe Road part of your study?
Yes, so it is a countywide plan, and it is multimodal. Are there specific, when you say improved, are you meaning paving, what type of improvements are you interested in seeing?
The western half is currently one lane, and I'd like to see it two lanes with a stripe in the middle.
Okay, we will take that comment.
I have lived here for 10 years, and I have noticed that there is an increase in traffic on Branscombe, which is good. People are enjoying the beach. It's helping the local economy. But I have noticed that there is an increase in traffic, and so I support Sally's comment regarding the expansion. I think between Highway 1 and what I call the pass up at the top, it's basically a lane and a half wide, and it would be nice to have a wider road surface, because I think people want to be good drivers. Everybody ends up with their outside wheels on the dirt, either to the left or the right. And so I think it would be nice if it's possible to have the paving expanded so that it could accommodate two vehicles going in opposite directions at the same time. Any other thoughts or comments from our guests or members? Yes, Sally.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
I think at the very least, it would be wonderful to have a sign discouraging trailers and RVs on Branscombe Road. At the moment, there is no sign, and I've had that experience.
Yeah, this
very dangerous.
A few days ago, I saw a very large stalled recreational vehicle on Branscombe going westbound.
All right, and you know, that's actually a good piece of information to have for the next part of our presentation that Loretta's going to talk about, the local road safety plan. It actually, I think, would tie in really well with that. So are you ready for us to finish, to do the last part of our presentation, and then we'll let you go on with the rest of your meeting?
Great.
Okay, if I could screen share, I'm going to briefly show you one more little section from our website. So this is the project website for the local road safety plans. And just briefly, to assist our local jurisdictions, MCOG in the last year or so hired a consultant to develop individual local road safety plans for the county and each of the four cities. The project was funded with grant funds from the state. Local agencies sometimes apply for state funds for roadway safety projects, and this type of plan would create a framework to help them identify and analyze and prioritize roadway safety improvements on project roads, on local roads. So beginning with the next cycle of this current grant program, local road safety plans will be required. So that is why MCOG is helping the agencies develop these plans, and that is why the state has provided grant funding to develop the plans. So I've brought up the project's website. It's www.mendocinosaferoads.com. It is also linked on MCOG's website. And it's an interactive website where you can go in and go to your area of the county and click where you want to comment. You can click the city or the county. I'll click the county, and then it takes you to just anywhere in the county that you can put in your location. For example, if you put in Westport, it doesn't really show much for Westport. I looked at it earlier. Let's see. It doesn't look like there have been many comments at all submitted on Westport. Oh, I'm having a little bit of trouble with it. But when I put in Fort Bragg, it brought up a bunch of things. So it's not really showing. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Well, I'm sorry about that. It's not really working like if I put in Westport.
That happens to us all the time.
Okay, and then you could pin a, it's not working like I thought. I think I'm doing something wrong. But you can pin a location and specifically comment on certain areas on the interactive website. And
Well, while Loretta is working on that, you know, I'll just add it, although it does seem like maybe there's a little duplication between these two plans, because this one is so specific to safety, it is different, and it's a requirement, as Loretta said, it's a requirement of this grant program. These plans, these local road safety plans, they're being done all around the state, and they're very data-driven, so they will rely heavily on existing accident data. However, we know that particularly in rural parts of the county, there are safety concerns that aren't reflected in accident data. So either, you know, when accidents are happening, but maybe they're minor and so they're not reported, or there are a lot of near miss incidents where, you know, the accident doesn't actually happen, but people, you know, feel that there is a, you know, there's a danger. And so this is an opportunity to report those, because those things just, they won't show up in the data that the consultants are using. So that's why this is an important part of the plan development.
Good, thank you. So this was the page I was trying to get to. It doesn't show anything that I could find in Westport that's been entered yet by anyone commenting, but it does have quite a few comments in the Fort Bragg area. So you can just, you know, go to this page. This is the project overview, and then it goes to, you can report your area of concern here, and then you can look at this map that I just brought up, and it gives collision that have a different, and there's a legend for different types of severity for different areas. So anyway, this is the website for that, and you can provide your comments and feedback on that. And that is at www.mendocinosaferoads.com. And I will put my email in the chat so anyone can email me with any questions, and I can put the link to this website in the chat also. And I think that's all that I had. And thank you very much for your time tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your coming here. And also want to thank Thad Van Buren on the council for making the arrangements for MCOG to be with us. Are there any final comments or questions? Bill Knapp.
The question is this just for state roads, or does it include county roads also?
It definitely includes the county roads and the city roads. Five separate safety plans are going to be prepared, one for the county of Mendocino for the unincorporated areas, and one for each of the four cities. So it does include the state roads also. Even though we're not doing a separate plan, the state roads that intersect and serve the local cities adjacent to the local roads. Does that answer your question?
I think so, because the only state road we have is Highway 1. Everything else is either a county road or a private road. And we.
Right. The state roads definitely would be included, like, in as to how they relate to the local roads. Is that your understanding, Athili?
Yes. So the plan, it includes local roads as well. It especially includes local roads, actually.
Okay, that's right. What we're really interested in.
Thank you, Bill. I do not see any other hands.
Thad.
For questions.
Thad's there.
A comment.
Yes, Thad, go ahead.
I'm wondering, is this safety planning totally driven by reported injuries and accidents and fatalities? Or can we point out safety issues that are apparent to us but haven't resulted in any injuries? For example, we have a lot of foot traffic between a local private campground to the north of town and town. People use that half mile stretch intensively, and there's a state beach called Pete's Beach along there. And it's very narrow, and we tried to get a grant through with your help, but because there were no accident data for that section, we were excluded from getting the grant. So I just want to know if there's any way that, you know, an issue like that could be brought up and heard in some way.
So yes, this is a good opportunity actually to tell us about those safety concerns that don't show up in accident data. It's a way that we can document those it is a challenge, I know, with some of those grant programs that really rely on documented accidents. And so they are kind of opening up their processes to other forms of documentation. So yes, I would definitely, you know, encourage you to share those types of things.
Okay, thanks.
And for staying so late, and thank Ed for making the arrangements for to be with us. That concludes the MCOG report, and we will now go on further to our agenda. I have been contacted by board member Knapp, and he has asked if we could switch items on the next two items on the agenda, moving the communication from the cannabis growers below the update on Senate Bill 231. Is there any objection from make that change? Going, gone. Okay, we will flip those two items on the agenda. Thank you, Bill, for bringing that to our attention. We now have an update on Senate Bill 231. And here it says that the chair make a statement of the process of Senate Bill 231 as it moves through the legislative process. We have an attachment showing the amended copy of 231. I have a legislative history in front of me, and I will read from that document. Bill was introduced on January the 19th of this year, read the first time in the California State Senate. It was referred on the 28th of January to the Transportation Committee of the Senate. A hearing was set for April the 27th. April the 27th came and received a due pass, referred to the Committee on Appropriations unanimously. Then it was set for a hearing by Appropriations on May the 10th. It was voted out from the committee and went to a second reading on the floor of the Senate. It was read the second time on May the 11th on the floor of the Senate. It was ordered for a third reading on the floor of the Senate. On May the 26th, it was amended on the floor of the Senate, and I'll mention what those were in a moment. It was ordered for a third reading. So it is, as of the 27th of May, which is last week, it was ordered to a third reading on the Senate floor. If it is passed by the Senate, it will then go to the Assembly, and it will go basically process. It will be referred to Station Committee, then go to a Fiscal Review Committee. If it is approved in its current form and approved by the Assembly, it will then go to the Governor for his signature. If there is any change to the Senate bill, any change that takes place in the Assembly, it then has to go to a conference committee with representatives from the Senate and the Assembly to iron out differences between the two versions. However, if there are no changes, it will go in the assembly. It then goes governor. And as I have read the bill, this merely authorizes the Department of Transportation. Does not mandate it, does not direct it. It authorizes the Department of Transportation to transfer title of land. Now, there were a number of significant amendments to the original bill that were placed, added to the bill while it was Senate. And a number of these changes, concerns, been expressed by members of the Westport Municipal Advisory Council and our guests at our meetings. And I'd like to share those with you right now. A qualified nonprofit corporation to which the department transfers the Blues Beach property pursuant to this section shall not do any of the following. One, transfer or assign the property to another entity without approval from the department and compliance with this section. Two, transfer shall not do anything to transfer or use the property for any other purpose than the purposes authorized in this section. Number three, it shall not do anything to subdivide the property. Number four, it shall not do anything to allow the property to be used to obtain a development approval for other property or to provide mitigation for the development of other property. Shall not allow charging of money fees to access the property. Shall not permit commercial or retail development on the property, and shall not permit gaming on the property. So those are amendments that were added that reflect some of the concerns that we expressed at the MAC meetings that were added on the Senate floor. So it's now ready for passage over to the assembly. So that's where the legislation stands right now. As I look at the agenda, this is only an update, but I am going to say, does any member have any comments to make?
I've been, Tom.
No.
Bill Knapp.
Okay, my understanding was it had to go to the Finance Committee, and the last time I looked, which was a couple days ago, it hadn't gone to the Finance Committee in the Senate yet. So I think you may have skipped a step or something happened since this amendment happened.
It went to the Appropriations Committee.
It did go. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That answers my question.
It was at the Appropriations Committee, and voted out by Appropriations on May the 10th. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay. Any comments or questions from guests? Okay. Yes, Janine.
Hi, I want to make sure that the
WMAC board members, council members have spoken before I make a comment.
Are there any other members of the council? Sally, Thad, Gary.
Thad had his hand up.
Thad?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to mention as an addendum to early discussion that it had been mentioned that there was a petition in opposition that had previously been mentioned. I want to note that there's a petition in support of this that has over 560 signatures. And looking at the local proportion from Westport, there are 37 people in Westport that support it, as opposed to 13 who signed the opposition petition for Westport. So our local area is pretty supportive. And in terms of the broader support for this, the fact that there are close to 600 current signatures and we're gathering more, this is substantial support.
You want to make a motion to that effect?
Motion.
Thad, you want to make a motion to that effect?
It's an item of information.
You don't want to make a motion.
Well, I previously suggested that since we represent the local area, that we do express support for the concepts that are out in the law. And I would make that motion again if the council wants to consider it, and if there might be a second for it. Supporting the
is there a second Thad's motion? Bill, Gary, Sally. There is no second. Motion fails for lack of a second. Okay. Yes, Gary?
I didn't know we were going to have comments like that. First of all, the 200 plus people that signed the petition in opposition to SB 231 were all taken at the beach. And I don't know how you can make such a statement, Mr. Van Buren, when that just isn't accurate, your numbers. And that's one on the beach opposition. The second thing is the petition at the grocery store is very misleading. And the people that go through, just bicyclers and so forth that are going through, they don't even know where the beach is at. That were asked to sign the petition. I don't think there's any validity to that 500 whatsoever. So I disagree completely with Mr. Van Buren that there is a unanimous or an overwhelming support for this locally. I think it's just the opposite. I think the overwhelming support of the local people that live here, is not for SB 231, not for it.
Okay. Any other comments from members, and we'll open it to the guests. Janine, would you like to make a comment now?
Yes, and I thank you. Are you able to hear me well?
Yes.
Okay. I am a resident of Mendocino County. I'm actually parked out by Glass Beach right now so that I can get good cell signal because I am meeting some colleagues out at McCarriker. I am an ethnoecologist. My doctorate is from UC Davis. I've worked for the county and also for the city of Fort Bragg as a community coordinator during the Marine Life Protection Act initiative. I have served as a secretary for the Mendocino County Fish and Game Advisory Commission. I've served on the board of the Salmon Restoration Association, and I've been an ambulance driver, volunteer ambulance driver for Anderson Valley, amongst many other roles, but I'm just citing the most relevant. And I'm coming to the board today because this little community of Westport is perched on the precipice of making history. And I very carefully read Senate Bill 231. I am following the amendments. I have worked with many of the senators and assembly members' staff in the past. I have been very impressed with their devotion both to this county and to our communities. And I am really impressed at how they did their homework and their due diligence on this bill. And hearing the recent concerns over fireworks and knowing that this is an area that has been subjected to fireworks and trash and destructive behaviors, taking a mismanaged, poorly managed property and finally, all of the ancestral territory that was taken from tribes and tribal communities and finally giving it back under a very carefully guided process that continues to allow public access and that simply prioritizes maintaining this site in its natural habitat for us is a win-win-win-win. And it would sadden me as a Mendocino County resident and as someone who loves this county and loves these communities to see us acting on the wrong side of history and for us to not understand the greater vision involved. We as a county and as a community have the opportunity to make history. And to me, that's really exciting. You know, I'm not going to get caught up in, you know, X number of people signed this petition or X number of people signed this other petition. Instead, I would like us to take the big picture and say, we want to protect our coastline and we want to do it together with the peoples who have the ancestral rights to this area. And we want to support our elected officials in doing the right thing. So that's what inspired me to attend this council meeting. And I gotta say, when I first read that Senate bill and I read Frank's piece in the Mendocino Voice, as an ecologist, as an ethnographer, as a community coordinator, I was thrilled. I was so excited. And I truly hope that this council provides leadership at this historical juncture, because you can do that. You have that power. So thank you.
Any other comments from busy? Yes, Gary.
We got guests.
Gary Quinton.
Didn't you ask for comments from other guests, Rob?
I see Gary's hand up.
Okay.
Hey, Jennifer, with all due respect, did you go down there to the beach this morning and see all the waste and destruction and filth that you're talking about? Because it isn't there. I went down there this morning. There was a lot of people down there enjoying that beach just over the weekend. And I couldn't find one single solitary gum wrapper or cigarette butt. And I might add, the high tide came in and there aren't any track marks out there. But driving on the beach is a separate issue. But actually watching what you did, you're right. We want to be on the right side of history. taking us as the wrong side. Right now, that beach belongs to everybody, you and me and everybody living in California, and you want to take it away and have it for a few people. We don't know, and we don't know what they're going to do. They haven't got a plan. Caltrans has done a wonderful job, a great organization. They stop by there several times a day, and they are respected in our community. Thank you.
Anyone else have any comments?
Sally Odison.
There are so many specific questions going unanswered. Gary's list of 19, my neighbor Chris has a list of more than 19. We've never had specific questions answered in writing. I'm not talking about a telephone conversation with Senator McGuire, because those go undocumented. I would like to have those questions answered. We're rushing toward, it feels like a tidal wave to me. Specifically, why transfer ownership? Why not do an interim period of maintenance, ceremonial use? Let's see how that feels. Let's see what happens. And then, you know, perhaps transfer ownership. But let's consider the effects of this momentous bill. State property has traditionally never changed hands. My neighbors bought their house thinking that they had a privacy zone. I would like to see if the plan works, if there is a plan. I haven't seen the plan for maintenance, but I would like to see if it works first before we actually transfer the ownership. I'd also like to just say that, yes, historically, Native Americans did have rights to this land, but we also have rights to this land. I've been here for 33 years, being a steward and paying my property tax. And you know, I feel that my rights are not being considered on an equal level. And I would like to at least ask for a postponement of time so that we can consider the answers to some of our very specific questions.
Thank you, Sally Odison. I'm going to ask Sally Odison if you would please write down all the questions that you would like to ask. Write down all the suggestions for change in the legislation that you would like to see, and send it to me, send it to my email address. Don't rush it.
So those questions have already been asked. Gary asked some very specific 19 pointed questions that have never been answered. My neighbor Chris has also asked some specific questions that have been distributed to all of you that have not been answered. And I think at the very least, those of you who represent us should seek those answers.
Okay. Thank you. Thad? Thad Van Buren.
McGuire's office, McGuire and his staff provided answers to the first questions that were submitted, the 8 questions, and those were reviewed by everyone who was at the meeting, and you were there, Sally. And then Gary read his 19 additional questions, which were repetitions of some of the same questions, really, asked in the same way, and many of them have been answered. And in the course of the conversation with McGuire's staff and others who participated in the meeting, and I do encourage you to send your persistent questions that you feel haven't been answered into Robert Scott, and they can be forwarded to the senator's office to see if we can get some kind of an answer from them. But I have to agree with Janine that we're missing an opportunity to partner with some folks who are going to take good care of this property as a nature preserve. And it's fallacy to suggest there are no problems out there. There are all kinds of problems. We've talked about this at the last three meetings, and I don't want to reiterate those now because I think we need to move forward. If we're not going to take any action on this, then we're simply a conduit for conversation.
Any other comments?
Rob, Frank Hartzell's got his hand up.
Yeah, I have a question that might be a little mundane, but I haven't been able to figure out where exactly this thing is supposed to be, because if you read the bill, it says mile marker 75, which is way above Blues Beach. It wouldn't even include Blues Beach. But then if you look at the real estate parcels, it appears to. Does anybody know what the exact boundaries of this is? It's been one of the confusing aspects of trying to write about this. I was talking to McGuire about it, and he had to leave the room. And I'm just wondering if anybody here knew, could say, is it all of Blues Beach? And then it goes, is it all of the Caltrans property or some parts of it not transferred?
Good question. Dad?
Well, they're going to retain their right-of-way on the highway, so that much is clear. But which parcels are included is not clear.
I think it would be helpful to get a map, a specific map of the area that we're discussing. I understand from Frank that the mile markers do not include the dirt drive to the parking area off of Highway 1. That seems a little peculiar to me. Robert Fennell.
Yes, please. Thank you for recognizing me. So my questions are, again, more on the, you know, the clarity of the legislation. First of all, it's going very fast. So a lot of the questions still being asked and not being answered. But who determines reversion? Who determines reversion? The appellate court, right? So who's going to fund that litigation and or that process? So that's one question that everyone should keep in mind. Who determines reversion? They're just not going to hand the property back if they're not taking care of it. And the legislation doesn't talk about other violations of the legislation. It's about upkeep, really. So if they attempt to transfer it, does it revert? So there's a lot of open questions that still remain. The legislation's on fast track, and I would caution WMAC not to move quickly on a decision in support or non-support. I mean, I'm agnostic about the whole thing. I want process to be followed, and eyes open.
Thank
you. That's my comment.
Any response? Gary?
I'd like to respond to Mr. Hartzell's question. I talked to Senator McGuire one-on-one for about 40-45 minutes, and we discussed the question about the mile marker description in the bill and the discrepancy of almost three-quarters of a mile between the description in the bill and what people are talking about. And he says he doesn't know. He says he's just going by what Caltrans gave him. He says it's 12 parcels. Well, Caltrans doesn't own 12 parcels down there. They only own four. I don't know what they're talking about. They only own four. So it's very, very confusing. He told me that he would provide the MAC a map of the area that's proposed in this. But that was over a week ago, and I haven't heard anything back from their office yet at all. But supposedly we have a map coming. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? My suggestion, Bill Knapp.
I'm trying to wait pretty much to the end, and I think maybe I have. This whole thing has been a real struggle to work through. And one of the things that I really strongly agree with that Janine said, only I'm going to phrase it slightly differently, but I believe it's her, what she was trying to convey. We have a tremendous opportunity here. She used the word historic, and I won't say that's a bad way to do it, to connotate it. The opportunity is to define something, what nobody has provided. And in this case, the burden of what I'm hoping to see here get would come from the tribal organizations that are trying to form the nonprofit. Okay, our best understanding is the nonprofit has not been formed yet. We have no idea where it is in its process. But these people have some kind of vision. They have to, or they wouldn't be doing this. And if they could share that vision, I can come up with some visions where we have an opportunity for what I'll call cross-cultural interaction, sharing things, having a positive thing. What we have now are discussions about what's going to be taken away from me, or discussions from not the parties directly involved, but from other people who say, it's really terrible if this was taken away from them a long time ago. That's bad. I'm not saying, I tend to agree with that, but that's not what gets today's activity moving forward. If we're going to move forward, we have to have an idea of what we're moving towards. Right now, the people who are, quote, in opposition are looking at this and saying, we have no idea what we're moving towards. The generic concept of it's going to be I'm not getting the right words now, but, you know, ecologically pristine or whatever. It's not going to be allowed to be degraded. Okay, that's positive, but it doesn't tell you what is going to be there. Westport desperately needs, as a local community economy, something that will draw people in a positive way and have a positive interaction with the community and everybody else. There's going to be some people who aren't going to get to have whatever it was they had before. And that's, you know, some level of that will happen. But we could have something significantly better than what we have today if we can figure out a way to work together and define what we're trying to work for instead of what we're working against or what we can't have. And so far, the discussion, one of the reasons I didn't want to vote on something when Thad was proposing, okay, the generic idea is basically good. I've agreed with that several times. But it doesn't get us something that the community can get behind. Generic ideas are only good for the people who absolutely believe in that good point, and, you know, and that trumps everything else. But for the group of people who I've talked to who live here, it's not that they're against this. You know, Bob Fennell just said, well, I'm agnostic on this. But it's that they don't know what we're trying to get. They don't know what we're going to get, and they aren't part of the definition of the vision. And if we want to do this in a positive way, I believe we have to find a way to understand what the vision is, share the vision, and work together to come towards something. And one of the things I originally thought that Senator McGuire was proposing was this concept that the MAC would be some sort of a conduit or something. And if you go back and listen to the audio from the Transportation Committee, he explicitly identified the MAC. He explicitly identified the tribal group that's working together to come up with this nonprofit, and suggested that this was a way to work together, those three agencies, if you will, his office, the tribal group, and the greater Westport community through the MAC. And he, you know, we can go back and listen to it again, but I clearly took that from what he said. Now, it turned out the mechanism, because of Brown Act and things like that, that the MAC wanted to do wasn't possible, and we haven't been able to come up with an alternative yet. But if we're going to move forward, we have to identify a positive goal that we can move forward to and get everybody involved to at least have a discussion about it. They aren't all going to agree with it, and we're never going to have a case where everybody agrees with whatever the final outcome is. So that the role I see for the MAC is trying to be that agency. And, you know, we need help in identifying what the goal is. And that help could largely and should largely come, I believe, from the group that has basically been the ones who brought this legislation forward. And that's the three tribes that are getting together and trying to form this nonprofit. They're the ones who started the process. They approached Senator McGuire's office, and they're trying to move forward. And if we're going to have it or something where the overall community is involved in it and behind it, we need to have interaction. So I was a little long-winded there, and I'll stop now.
No, I Yay, think you've no. really come up with some good thoughts. I have a sense that there is a majority of the members of the MAC that would like to move forward, trying to accommodate some of the more serious concerns of other members. And I think that there is an interest in moving forward in some fashion. I was hoping that Sally Grieg would still be on the line, and I see that she is gone. So we can't get her input. What I would like to suggest is that, as much as this may pain some, is give me an opportunity during the next month to sit down individually with individual members, Thad, Gary, Bill, Sally, to see if we can bring something together, find out what the major issues are. And I'm going to suggest, since the item for the agenda was an update only, that we continue this on after I've had a chance to speak with the individuals so that we don't have any issues of the Brown Act, just be myself and one of the other directors at a time, to talk about how we can move forward with this, because I think I have a sense that a majority of the directors would prefer to move forward rather than just dump the idea here. I'm going to ask any of the members if that's acceptable. Gary? Gary?
Open your mic, sir.
Turn on your mic.
Got to learn how to work these things. Did you recognize me, Chairman?
Yes, I'm doing it. I'm doing it now.
Okay, thank you. I agree with what you said, with one caveat. If we're going to write a letter, I think we ought to write a letter to the Indian tribe or the Native American organization and reach out to them to and give them all of our names, phone numbers, and email addresses and say, these are the people on the MAC. If you want to eliminate opposition locally, you get a hold of them. I don't know how to get a hold of them. I don't know who to talk to. And maybe they'll answer some of the questions that we've asked that have not been answered. They just have not been answered. And maybe they have good answers. I don't know.
I'm agreeable to that. I'm agreeable to that.
Can I make a motion that we write a letter and we write it to the tribes that are going to be forming this 501c3 and invite them to talk to us individually because of the Brown Act, or meet with up to two of us at a time, not three, but two of us at a time, and discuss what their vision is. I would strongly oppose, before that, I would not oppose that. I'd be strongly for a letter like that.
Okay. Any other comments from Thad or Bill? Is there a second to the motion?
I have one comment to add. We can also invite the tribal group to a meeting, but we need to work out an agenda. We need to find a way to work together. And part of the problem is we as a group don't know how to do that right now. And it may be that if we have some discussion like what you're talking about, that after you do that round robin, it's quite possible that you'll get some input that suggests how that could be done. I have a couple ideas, but I don't want to discuss them right now. But we need to find a way to work together.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we're going to keep running around this circle. So Thad's got his hand up.
Thad, do you have any? Yeah, Thad Van Buren.
We invited the tribes and they came to the April 6th meeting and they got a frosty reception with a lot of evidence of, questions, when I think the legislation itself shows the vision very clearly for what they would like and what is planned for the property, which is a nature preserve where things are, it remains open to the public. And the use is consistent with resource conservation. I don't know how that could be much clearer than it is in the legislation itself. And, I got feedback from some of them that it was not felt to be very positive toward them in our approach. And we need to have a different approach if we want to interact with them in a constructive way to realize the vision that's in the law, that's already visualized as part of the mission of the law, which is conserving this area and its natural resources and allowing people to continue to enjoy that. All of us, not just them, but the public in general. That is part of the mission. That is what they see for the future. And I personally, if you've read the law, you know what it says and what that vision is. That's all.
I am going to second Gary Quinton's motion. And would sit down with Gary to draft that letter and suggest that we bring it to the MAC at our July meeting for approval and get the letter out.
Bill, I just wanted to bring it to your attention that Bob Fennell was trying to make a comment before you made your second.
Okay. Robert?
Yes, thank you for recognizing me, and thanks, Bill, for suggesting that I recognize. So real quickly here, to Thad's point, well-intentioned, form the 501c3 first. That's a gating item. Get the mission statement, provide the details. That can happen in 2 weeks. There's no reason they should not be doing that. Explain why that isn't happening. And the second thing, the letter that you're suggesting, that should be an open Brown Act meeting where they come and talk to the public about, it shouldn't be a one-off. Amongst the directors, serial communications are very deadly, but Chairman Scott can talk individually to members, and that's approved. But the meeting with the 501c3 participants should be a special meeting. Third and last point, we have weekly meetings. Over-communicate, educate. People want to have information. That's your job, to communicate to the public at large. It's painful, but that's the way to do it. Every Monday, every Thursday, whatever you want to do until this is over, this is a material issue for the community. Communicate, educate, involve people. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any comments on Robert's observations and recommendations? Hearing none, there is a motion before the council.
Rob, yeah. I'm sorry. Doreen, League of Women Voters put their hand up just before you.
Okay. Doreen, you're recognized.
Thank you, Rob. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say how much I agree with Bob Fennell's point about communicating with the public. It's difficult for you guys to find out all the information you need about this. It's very much even more difficult for the public. As I watch this meeting, it seems like you guys actually think that you should be making the decision about how Westport feels about this. And that's just not the case. So educate the public so we can have an informed voice. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, motion has been made and seconded. I'm gonna ask Gary if he get together with me to come up with a draft that could be presented to the council. I want to have everybody involved in this one way or the other. All those in favor of the motion signify by the sign of aye.
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 Okay, there's three. Thad?
This is going to be...
No vote at all? You abstain?
Could I have a question? This is a draft letter.
Is that an opposition?
Next meeting, is that clear?
What?
You're going to prepare a draft letter for presentation to the board at the next meeting. Is that what I understand?
That's what I said.
Okay. I'm in favor.
Okay. Sally is not, Greg is not with us. So the motion passes, and I will move expeditiously with Gary on this. We reversed items on the agenda, and we now have a question of the former cannabis growers. This was the issue that Sally Grigg raised. She's no longer with us on our call. I was going over the letter from Jose the Thad, and the thought occurred to me, what is their interest? Why are they trying to get this information from the MAC? Any comment, and also it asks for specific correspondence. And I have no idea, since it was 4 years ago, where that correspondence might be. Do any of the board members have any knowledge of the location of this four-year-old correspondence? Dad?
It was my understanding at the last meeting that you were going to contact the county council for advice on how to respond. Have you done that?
No, I have attempted to. You've been included in my correspondence regarding county council, try to get information on the conflict of interest that you and Gary have. And I have not heard back from them on that point. Bad.
No, this has nothing to do with that issue. You were going to contact the county council about how we should respond to this issue because there's a pending lawsuit between the pot growers that we were commenting upon. And we all agreed at the last meeting we shouldn't wade in or respond in any way until we talked to the county council. And you were the one who was going to be responsible for talking to the county council. That was my understanding.
Yeah, let me repeat myself, Thad. I've not been able to get a hold of the county council to talk about conflicts of interest. What makes you think that I'd have any more luck? Let me finish. What makes you think there would be any more luck in contacting them regarding the issue of litigation?
It's a separate issue.
Can I be recognized, Sherman?
Yes, I do. Gary.
You say Gary. I am recognized. That's correct. We agreed, this is on our agenda tonight, but we have already previously agreed and voted that we were not going to respond to these people in any way, shape, or form until we got an approval from county council. So I think this on the tonight's menu is a moot issue.
They, according to Dan Jurdy, he was going to contact county council on the issue of the conflict of interest a week ago and get them to call me. I have not heard from them either on an email or by telephone. And I do know, according to Dan, that there are some people out of the office with family emergencies in the county council's office. I'm not going to defend them at all. I'm just saying what the facts are. Okay. Again, I will continue to work with our supervisor on these two issues. Are there any announcements or correspondence for discussion only? Bill?
Yes, I have. I've made some progress on the issue regarding our website and got some useful information by getting put in touch with somebody who runs the Gualala website. And I'll just cut it real short. It appears that the county will be willing to provide the funds that we will need to get the website up to date. What we will need is we will need I'll just call it a quality host, you know, to mount it on. We will need some software. That the kind of software we need is only available by subscription. I'm talking about something that's going to end up running somewhere around $250 a year, might be a little bit less than that. And that will get us to the point where we have both a hosted website. By the way, the reason I also found out why our website went down, it got hacked. It was being used by somebody to run bots through. And the higher level of whoever runs the internet shut it down. It was not shut down by the person who was hosting it. It was shut down by a level above them. And so one of the things that's going to have to happen is we're going to have to reclaim our website, our name, our, but that's not, I found out how to do that. I know who to contact. And what I'm looking for, I guess, is, you know, that we're okay with the idea of taking on whatever burden it's going to be to get the county to reimburse us for these funds. And it looks like to get out of the box, it's roughly $250, and it's going to be somewhere around an annual fee of $200. That should be well within the money that's available to us from a budgetary point of view, which we have not historically made use of. And so progress is being made. And so I'm just looking for an agreement that yes, we'll do what we need to do to get the county to foot the bill.
Gary? Thank you. Gary, any announcements or correspondence?
I would like to comment on what Bill was just saying.
Yes, please.
In fact, I'd like to make a motion that let me talk about it generally before I make it. Generally speaking, I think we should make a motion that says Bill is authorized without further comment and questioning from the council to go forward to do what is necessary to get the website going, including going to the county for authorization for the payments to make it happen.
Bad comment, please.
I agree. It would be great to get a website back up and running. I support it.
Great.
I'll actually make a motion that if it's okay at this time.
You'd like to second that, Bad?
Pardon?
Bad, you want to second that motion?
I think okay. Gary was going to make the motion.
He has. I said, do you want to second it?
I haven't made it yet, Robert. Let me make a very specific motion, okay?
Fine, fire away.
I move that we appoint Bill Knapp to fix the problem of a website, including purchasing software, making agreements, whatever agreements are necessary for an ongoing website, and contacting the county to get appropriate funding without further conversation from the board. He is fully authorized to, through completion, to make this happen and not having to wait for another meeting.
Great. Dad, do you wish to second that? Okay. Dad, seconds it. Any discussion?
Yes, I have a little bit of discussion. Okay, I'm willing to do this, but to make this happen quickly, I want some help, and I think Gary is the right help to deal with the county. I've dealt with them in the past. It's taken weeks and months to get money out of them. It's not a lot of money, but the concept of me paying out of my pocket and then having to go fight tooth and nail with the county to get them to reimburse the money to the MAC, you know, is just not something I'm looking forward to.
That's semantics. I made a motion and it's seconded. Let's vote on it. I'll help you.
Okay, then I'm willing to vote for it.
You guys are smiling too much. A call for the vote, Chairman.
All those in favor of the motion signify by raising your hands.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Okay.
All right.
Bad, any comments that you have on announcements or correspondence? Bad, yes.
Yes, I brought up the issue of fireworks at the beginning of the meeting.
Yes.
It seemed that everyone was interested in talking about it. Here's what I have in mind. I think that the agencies to contact are the sheriff, Dan Jurdy, and the highway patrol and state parks, because it's happening in Westport Union Landing State Park. So those are the agencies I think that we should be in touch with to say, hey, there's a serious problem here. We're concerned about the threat of fire spreading through our communities as a result of these illegal activities. And so I would suggest that we write a letter to all of the above agencies, find out who the appropriate contacts are for those agencies. At state parks, it would be Lauren Rex, he's the superintendent. And, you know, I have suggestions for the other agencies too, but my motion would be basically that we say, hey, there's a serious problem. What can you do to help solve it? And
good.
Have that go out under your signature, Rob.
Oh, that's a good idea. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Then seconded. Any further discussion? Although, yes, Gary.
Not only should we write a letter, once we have the letter out, we should do something about it and actually make the phone calls. I don't think that the problem, I think the major problem is nobody calls. These last few years, these guys have gone way over the top. They're shooting off fireworks you can't even get in a commercial city fireworks show. And it is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
I think that's a great.
Dad, are you available to write the letter?
Dad wants to write the letter.
Dad.
I'm
okay,
well.
You'll write the letter, Gary?
What?
I've asked Thad if he would write the letter. Would you prefer the one that writes the letter?
I'll write the letter and you make the contact by telephone, Ron. Is that good?
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. All those in favor of the motion, please signify. Yes, Gary?
I suggest we not have to wait until next meeting to do this.
Okay, that's fine with me. Bill, do you have any objection to that?
My video seems to have frozen. Do you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, no, I'm in favor of what we're saying to do here.
Okay.
Fourth of July is upon us.
All those in favor of the motion signify by raising your hand. Okay.
You can't see my hand.
Okay. I'd like to move on now. Preliminary agenda for next meeting.
Rob?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Doreen's got her hand up, and Bob was raising his hand just before we voted.
Thank you. Doreen. Hello.
Mute yourself, Doreen.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Thad. I'll let Bob address any procedural issues here. But what I wanted to say is content oriented, which is we have a fire department. And you're not even talking about including them in your letter.
That's a good point.
Good point. Okay.
PDF 2.
Yes.
You're right. Let's include both of them.
Fixed it.
Sounds good to me.
If I could be recognized.
Yeah, Robert.
I was just going to say real quickly, I mean, the time to move is quickly. And I think additional signage on all the three beaches, to the extent we have authority to sort of promote that would be helpful, the beaches that Thad referred to. And, you know, July 4th is coming upon us really quickly, and that's the next big event. So move quick.
Yeah. Okay,
preliminary agenda for the next meeting. That is going to be on July the 6th. Is the next first Tuesday. We want to go back and I'll give a report on my private individual one-to-one conversations on SB 231. We will try to get more information from County Council on cannabis growers, and we will see if there's any information, any feedback that we get on the issue of fireworks. Does any one member of the council want to add another item to the agenda for July the 6th?
Well, I think we're also hoping to get an update on this conflict of interest thing, but that's tied into the county council. But
yeah,
it would be nice for us to get that move through that.
Let's include that in on the agenda, and I will call Supervisor Jurdy once again, see if we can get the log jam broken up and get some feedback on that issue. Thank you, Bill. Any other council member have another item? Hearing none, we'll move on to adjournment. Their motion to adjourn. I see a smile on Bill's face.
I motion we adjourn.
All those, I won't ask for a second. All those in favor, please stand up.
Okay.
Yay!
All right.
Want to thank all the members of the council for attending. We've been in session for 2.25 hours. I think that breaks a record. I want to thank all of our guests for their participation. I want to thank Doreen and Robert Fennell. I also want to thank the ladies who came from the Municipal Mendocino Council of Governments for their preparation and the presentation they made. I think it is really helpful to us that we have these opportunities to hear from folks at a higher level of government from time to time. So if anyone has a request in the future, please let yourself be known what your request is, and we would try to get speakers at the next meeting. Until then, the meeting is adjourned. I wish everyone a pleasant evening and a good week ahead. Thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.